Well, hello, and welcome to That's What She Said Sports. I'm your host, Nicole Monique. Hope you all are feeling good. Good morning, Sky. How you doing?
Doing good, doing good.
Good, good. Well, welcome everybody again to That's What She Said Sports on AM 1100, Atlanta Sports and Entertainment Radio Network. As you can all see, those of you who are streaming live, I am solo today. My co-dude BG, he is back safely from Hawaii, but he is out again. And all I have to say is, must be nice. I need to find out where he's getting all these days off. So, but joining me, and I'm excited, and you all know him because he was on our show not too long ago, is Tyler Dragon from California. He is a sports journalist for NFL.com. Good morning, Tyler. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you doing? How's everybody doing?
Good. I know it's early, so you know I owe you big time.
I felt some type of way because you said you were solo. I was like, whoa,
Well, solo in the studio. See, we have people who are watching us online, so they're kind of trying to figure out what's going on. But no. Trust me. Everybody knows you here. I've been pumping it up on social media. And again, I can't thank you enough for calling in from California and being my guest co-host today.
No problem.
So remember, folks, feel free to give us a call anytime to weigh in, comment, question. We want to hear it all. Give us a call at 404-603-8770. Again, that's 404-603-8770. And we have an exciting show today. After Tyler and I kind of mix it up a little bit, talking a little NFL, some NBA, we're going to have Leah Rothus, who is the executive director of Girls on the Run of Atlanta, joining us. So I'm excited to hear more about her organization, and she has an event going on tomorrow in Atlanta as well. And like I had mentioned earlier, we are streaming online at 1100entertainmentradio.com, which sometimes can be scary, but it's actually okay. This morning, I'm not doing anything too crazy by myself. So, Tyler, this was an interesting week in the NFL. It seemed like, you know, we had a bunch of weeks that gone by. We really hadn't heard much from Adrian Peterson or Ray Rice. And then all of a sudden, this past week, we get news from both of them. And I wanted to first start out, Tyler, talking about Adrian Peterson because, you know, he reached a plea deal. He pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor charge of reckless assault. He was fined $4,000. 80 hours of community service. So many folks figured, okay, his court stuff was done. Let's get him reinstated in the NFL. And the NFL was like, whoop, hold on, not yet. So, I mean, what's up with that? Do you think the NFL is wrong for not getting him in there quickly? Or, I mean, what's going on?
Well, see, Roger Goodell and the NFL still have to review Adrian Peterson's case under the personal conduct policy. And after they do that, they're going to make a decision if they're going to suspend them any additional games or, you know, whatnot. So, you know, it's still under investigation on the NFL side. You know, the judicial side and everything, you know, Adrian Peterson is okay after he accepted his plea deal, voided jail time. So that's good for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, over, you know, on the NFL side, he may have to sit out a couple more games, maybe the rest of the year. You know, the Vikings kind of need him, especially with the young quarterback and Teddy Bridgewater and everything. You know, they're not looking too good in the division, and they need a good running back like Adrian Peterson. He's arguably the best running back in the NFL. So we'll see what, you know, the NFL has to do.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because some of the Viking players have come out and said, look, we want him back. And, I mean, he's already missed half of the season, and if you're talking, I don't know, two or three more games, it's kind of at this point, what's the point of him even coming back?
Yeah, well, you know, the Vikings are still in the playoff race. They are 4-5. They're third in NFC North. But, you know, with Adrian Peterson, it would make a big difference. They still have, you know, slight playoff hopes. They have the Green Bay Packers still, and then they have the Detroit Lions ahead of the division. I don't see them, competing with Detroit or even Green Bay, to say the least.
Right.
But with Adrian Peterson, anything is under the table.
Well, you had mentioned the young quarterback. What do you think of Teddy Bridgewater?
I think he's solid. You know, it's tough to judge rookie quarterbacks, you know, because they don't have a lot of, you know, they're still wet behind the ears. They don't have a lot of games under their belt. So I think, you know, they need a couple years so you can really, you know, say, okay, well, this guy's legit. This guy's, he's not what our franchise should go under.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do think he's solid. And I think the biggest thing I like about Bridgewater is he's kind of quiet. It's kind of, I just got a job to do and I'm going to go ahead and do it. There's not a lot of flash with Teddy, which is okay. But I think he fits with Minnesota. And I can see him doing big things.
Yeah, I perfectly agree. He was a great quarterback at Louisville. I think, you know, he's had flashes of brilliance in the NFL. He just needs some more games under his belt, you know. And with most rookie quarterbacks, they have flashes of brilliance and they have flashes of times when they look terrible.
Right.
And with most rookie quarterbacks, you just got to give them time.
Right, right. We're going to bring Sky in real quick. He's our board operator. He wanted to jump in the convo. What do you think, Sky?
I thought Teddy was going to be the best quarterback this year. Honestly, coming out of college, I thought he would be the one to make the most impact this year.
Right.
And I think he is. He's ready for the pros.
Even though everybody wanted to be Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely agree with Sky. I think Teddy Bridgewater, I think he's the best quarterback coming out of he was the best quarterback coming out of college. I also think that, you know, Blake Bortles, he's a pretty good quarterback too. So
yeah.
It's between them two. Derek Carr's not doing too bad as well over and over.
Well, since we're talking about the young QBs, let's kind of jump in real quick. I want to know, what do you guys think about Manziel? The fact that, you know, do you think he's going to get any playing time this season?
I like to call Manziel Tebow Jr. because he's a whole lot... He's a whole lot of hype and, you know, no substance.
Right,
and
right.
He was good in college, but, you know, that transition to NFL, that's a different beast.
Yeah.
He's a short quarterback. He's athletic, but he's not, you know, doesn't have the best accuracy in the world.
Yeah.
And a lot of times in college, he was just playing backyard football. He was just running around until Mike Evans got open and he had a good offensive line in front of him. And he made plays.
Right.
You know, NFL... Everybody's as fast as Johnny Manziel. You know, there's defensive linemen running 4.5, linebackers running 4.5, safeties and corners running 4.3s, 4.2s. So Manziel's not the fastest guy, most athletic guy in the field anymore. So it's a whole lot different. And that's why he's playing behind Brian Horry, because he still has to learn how to play in the NFL, be a starting NFL quarterback.
And I'm so glad you said that Tim Tebow 2.0, because whenever I say it or other people, they're like, oh, how can you get on Tim Tebow? You know, he did his thing. Obviously, these college quarterbacks are being exposed when they get into the NFL like never before.
Yes, that's definitely true.
Yeah. All right, well, let's jump on as far as the Ray Rice appeal has ended. Ray and his wife, Janae Rice, have testified. Commissioner Goodell has testified. You had the Ravens GM, Ozzie Newsome, and the team president, Dick Cass. They've also testified. And, you know, the whole point of this appeal is that they're seeking to overturn his indefinite suspension. And basically, we all just want to know, what did the commissioner know? It seems like that's pretty much the base of the appeal. You know, Roger Goodell versus Ray Rice, as far as he said, he said. And I want to know, Tyler, how do you think this is going to end?
Man, your guess is as good as mine. The commissioner testified for two hours this week, and we don't know a thing what he testified, you know, what he said.
Yeah.
And they're kind of keeping this under wraps, and I think it's wise for the NFL to do it right now, because this whole thing has been a big mess. It's almost he said, she said all over again.
Right, right.
And you don't know what's happening. Ray Rice says one thing, Roger Goodell says another thing. And then, you know, there's people out the woodwork saying different things. So who knows? We all want it to end. I know at, you know, NFL.com, we want it to end.
Yeah.
We want to start talking about football. We don't want to talk about Adrian Peterson all the time. We don't want to talk about Ray Rice all the time. We want to talk about the games being played on the field. And I think the fans really want to talk about that too.
Yeah, and I think you kind of see that over the last few weeks. You know, obviously we had the first 4 weeks. It was very, you know, court heavy, a lot of drama, a lot of topics. And I think it kind of fizzled out there a little bit, and we kind of got on to the football season. But then this has also been a weird, I don't know, as a fan of the game, this has been like a weird season for me, because there hasn't been like that one team that just has wowed everybody. And then the drama, like in the beginning of the season, you know, everybody wanted Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger to basically be done. You know, we pretty much had said their career is over, and then look at the swing their teams are taking. How's the season felt for you, Tyler?
I mean, usually there's not really for me at least, there's not like really a surprise, you know, one team that just jumps out in front of everybody.
Right.
I think, you know, it you have to wait till later on in the season when you go, okay, you know, that team's a legit contender. Okay, that team's done.
Yeah.
Now it's still relatively, you know, the midpoint of the season. So now, you know, you're going to start seeing a swing where, you know, teams are going to start swinging in a negative direction, and then you're going to see teams start swinging in a positive direction. So, you know, now as a fan of the game, you got to really pinpoint, okay, you got to really look at these teams, and you're going to find out which ones are contenders and which ones aren't.
Right. Well, we have a caller. Caller on the line, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Kerry Reynolds, calling from Atlanta.
Hey, Kerry, you got a question or comment?
Just a comment.
Sure, what you got?
Well, I think the commissioner is just trying to figure out which is going to be, which way is going to be the least resistance from the fans for making these decisions. It's unfortunate that they're still investigating Peterson, even Ray. It's been going on how long? You should already have a scenario. Hey, we're going to do this if this happens, or we're going to do that. But I think right now he's just trying to find out which way would be the best for him to move forward from the fan base. That's all he's trying to do.
Right, right. Well, thank you, Kerry, for the call. We appreciate it, and thank you for listening. That's What She Said Sports.
Always. Have a good day.
Mm-hmm. So, Tyler, what'd you think about that?
I think he's right. At the end of the day, you know, you got to protect the shield. You got to protect the NFL logo. You got to protect the helmet. So, you know, the commissioner has a lot of people behind him, and they're going to wait. And, you know, it's not what the fans want to hear, but they're going to wait and make the right decision. And they're going to, you know, take their time on it.
Right.
Because this stuff is, you know, overshadows the game from a large point of view.
And in a way, it's kind of, you know, brought a strike against the Shield as well. So this is one of those times where they can't rush to judgment. They have to get it right, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right, folks, when we get back, I want to find out from you, Tyler, what you think about this particular quarterback to see if he's worth $50 million. And then we're going to talk a little NBA. So I think you know what I'm talking about. Folks, you're listening to That's What She Said Sports. Stay tuned. There's nothing better than taking your business needs to a family-owned business like American Repro Graphics Corporation. With 35 years of experience, they are the premier one-stop shop for printing and business solutions. Get ahead of the holiday rush and get your holiday cards and personalized gift ideas today. Order by November 28th and save 25%. Call 770-394-2465. That's 770-394-2465 or visit arcinatlanta.com.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
I've been everywhere, man, looking for someone who can please me, love me all night long. I've been everywhere, man, looking for you, babe, looking for you, babe, searching for you, babe.
And we're back, and you're listening to That's What She Said Sports. I'm your host, Nicole Monique, and joining me this morning, all the way from California, is Tyler Dragon from NFL.com. And Tyler, I left off with, I wanted to find out from you, what did you think of the Arizona Cardinals, yes, the 7-1 Arizona Cardinals, signing a 3-year extension to their quarterback, Carson Palmer, worth $50 million, 20.5 of that guaranteed. Is he worth the money?
He's not worth it for, you know, maybe the Patriots or the Broncos, but for the Arizona Cardinals, he's worth it. I mean, who else do they have under center?
and surprisingly,
the Carson Palmer is playing the best in the NFC West. He's playing better than Colin Kaepernick. He's playing better than in Russell Wilson. And we don't even want to talk about the other quarterbacks. So, you know, Carson Palmer is, you know, surprisingly leading the Arizona Cardinals. Right. Cardinals had the best record in the NFL at 7-1.
Well, first of all, that's just weird within itself. The Arizona Cardinals have the best record in the NFL. And then the fact that Carson Palmer is playing better than all those quarterbacks you just mentioned. For me, it's just hard because I still am remembering Carson Palmer, Bengals Carson Palmer, and Raiders Carson Palmer. I'm just having a hard time.
Well, yeah, I definitely understand. Bengals Carson Palmer was okay.
Right.
Bengals Carson Palmer, you know, he went to the Pro Bowl. He had a good season. He had TJ Husmazani. He had Chad Johnson. He had some great receivers.
Yeah.
Raiders Carson Palmer. It seems like when everybody goes to the Raiders, that they enter, like, the worst time in their career. Randy Moss, like, people don't even remember him with the Raiders.
Right.
But he was terrible with the Raiders.
Right. Warren Sapp.
Terrible with the Raiders.
Warren Sapp.
Yeah, the one stop that is just like a bad dream the whole time you're there.
Yeah. It's like where you go to die, basically.
Yeah.
Oakland Raiders.
I guess they call it the black hole for a reason.
Right. Well, let's turn it to the NBA. And I want to know, and obviously the season just started, but it seems like with the season just starting, there's already a lot of drama. So I just want to find out from you, Tyler, what do you think of the season so far?
Well, like LeBron said, everybody needs to relax.
I was waiting for that Aaron Rodgers quote to come out between me and you.
Yeah, everybody needs to relax. You know, as the LeBron supporter, the Cavs will be just fine. So, you know, they need to get their defense together. Kyrie Irving, you know, he has to learn how to play with legit superstars in Kevin Love and LeBron James. And they'll be fine. David Blatt's coming over from Europe.
Yeah.
He has to learn the NBA game. So, from the Cavs' point of view, I just want to get that out of the way first because everybody seems to blow them up, acting like they, you know, stick a fork in them or they're going to be terrible.
Right.
The Heat started 9-8 when they all came together. Cavs started 1-3, and they're now 2-3. They'll be fine.
But see,
the other teams are okay though.
Right. Well, okay, well, real quick, back to the Cavs. It's interesting that you said that because, you know, I was feeling like that too. I was telling folks, just relax. The season just started. And then that little bit about they had an exchange as far as LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. I don't know if people remember, but they had said the same thing about D-Wade and him. You know, they were fighting the locker room. They weren't getting along. I mean, I think that drama just kind of helps. And I'm with you there. I guess the only thing that I'd have to say to LeBron when he tells everybody to relax, but you kind of created this. You know, you kind of created the whole, am I staying, am I going? And then you did leave. And then we had the largest homecoming ever, probably in sports history, of somebody, you know, going back home. So in a way, I can see what everybody, especially Cavs fans and LeBron James supporters, would kind of have that angst. So even though he's telling us to relax, you created this a little bit.
I agree to a certain extent.
Okay.
I think the media follows LeBron no matter where he goes, so
right.
He's not necessarily creating it. I mean, he is creating it, but the media keeps on feeding it to make it as big as it is.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the decision. Everybody gets mad at LeBron for the decision. Oh, you've had this televised event. Where are you going to go? Well, they don't mention ESPN wanted him to have it.
Exactly.
And ESPN paid him, you know, large amounts of money for him to have it. So, you know, if the media companies weren't, you know, feeding this guy and allowing this guy to do this, then, you know, he probably won it. So we can't give him all the blame.
Yeah, well, I feel you on the decision. I think a lot of people don't get that was more TV hype, and he was just having to be a part of it. So the Lakers haven't won yet. Just putting that out there. Okay? And because, you know, between my dad and a couple people in my family who are Lakers fans, they are just shaking their head. Could the Lakers win at least 18 games this season?
Well, wait. First of all, how is your dad a Lakers fan all the way in Atlanta?
Okay, but no. First of all, my dad lives in Michigan, and
okay.
I grew up in East Lansing, home of Michigan State.
Magic Johnson.
Okay. Connecting the dots. You got it? Okay. Yeah, you feel me.
I'm connecting the dots.
Yeah. So, so that's how that works. But, yeah, so the Lakers... 0-5. Do we see a win in their future? I mean, obviously they're going to win, but I mean, is this it for Kobe?
I was talking to some people about this the other day. I see the Lakers going, you know, at starting off 0-10. You know, they play the Spurs. They play the Pelicans a couple times.
Right.
the Lakers might be 0-10 before they get a win under their belt.
Wow.
And it's safe to say that they're done until Kobe retires, probably. And the reason why I say that is no superstar wants to play with Kobe Bryant because he shoots the ball 40 times a game. He gets one assist, and he wants to be the alpha dog every time he steps on the court for his team. And superstars like Carmelo, superstars like LeBron, don't really want to play with them.
But you know what?
It's going to take Kobe to change his, you know, mindset
before,
you know, he gets another ring.
Well,
if that happens.
Well, I cannot believe I'm doing this, but I'm actually going to defend Kobe Bryant just for a little bit. Because I know, right? And seriously, I probably have friends who are like rolling over right now. Like, what? But I get what you're saying, and Lord knows that's how Kobe was definitely in the start of his career. But he did learn to play with others. Obviously, you know, if you look at the time when him and Shaq were together, and I think the whole Dwight Howard thing kind of took it to the next level. But in the same token, Kobe can play with others if the others want to play. I think that's the key. But right now, there's really nobody else but Kobe. So he has to take, like, the last game, 37 shots.
Well, you know Kobe ran Shaq out of town. They got in the fights. So I don't see where you say he can play. I have to disagree.
Okay.
Because I think he can play with others to a certain extent. He can play with others as long as he's the main guy taking most of the shots, as long as he gets, you know, all the credit for every win. But I mean, and that Henry Abbott piece like said it perfectly. I agreed 100% with his, you know, piece that came out maybe a month ago.
Yeah.
And everybody got all up in arms about, oh no, he's too hard on Kobe. It was like, no, like people say this around the league. GMs say this, players say this all the time. He just brought it out to light and people, you know, oh well, you know, this is too hard on Kobe. Well, it's kinda hard on him, but in fact it's true.
Right, right. Sky, you want to jump in?
He can play with others, but he doesn't play well with others. That's the thing.
Okay. I got you. Well, the bottom line is, this is it for the Lakers. I mean, we're watching, basically. I just hate it because with all that he has done, I hate that this is how his legacy could end. I mean, that's the part that sucks.
Yeah, it is sad. I would like to see the Lakers competitive. The NBA is better when the Lakers and Celtics are competitive.
Exactly.
And the Western Conference needs the Lakers to be competitive. I mean, you know, it is that Kobe's one of the 10 best players, I believe, who's ever played basketball. And he's going to go, when it's all said and done, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He's going to have all his rings. But, you know, this is not a time for him to for people to look back in his career right now, because the Lakers are abysmal right now. They definitely lack talent
all the way around. So I'm wondering, do you think Kobe Bryant's going to top Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech?
I am definitely going to look forward to it
right?
Down the line.
Is he just going to grab the mic and say, it was all about me, and then drop the mic? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bryant. Thank you. Well, I wanted to talk about another team that's kind of going through it, too. You know, OKC, they're going through it. They have, you know, obviously Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant are playing. And then there was a report recently that Kendrick Perkins and Ibaka, they're not feeling Reggie Jackson, who wants to be a starter. And supposedly they had played a game to where they are, you know, they had freezing him out. They weren't even giving him the ball because it seemed like every time he got the ball, he was trying to do a Kobe, as you would say, and throw it up there. So do you think that OKC drama isn't going to end well?
Well, they need to start filling Reggie Jackson right now because it's the best player they have.
Right, right. Yeah,
and
I mean, you're right.
Reggie Jackson yesterday, they wouldn't have been, you know,
as close as they
were.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the OKC, they just got the injury bug that hit them. And, you know, after three more weeks, Kevin Durant will be back, and hopefully in a month or so, Russell Westbrook will be back. And then they'll just have to start, you know, rallying up some wins here. The Western Conference, as we mentioned, is a very tough conference, and you got teams 1 through 10 from the Spurs to probably the Suns and even the Kings. Like, all those teams are legit playoff contenders. the Kings are, what, they've only lost one game this year.
Right.
And they were supposed to be like an 11 seed in the West. So the West top to bottom is a tough conference. And so once those players get healthy, OKC has to, you know, rally up some wins because, you know, it's going to be tough to contend in the West. And it's all about playoff seeding once you get in there. Because once you, if you don't have home court advantage in the West, it's going to be a very tough climb to get out.
So, Tyler, Memphis, Golden State, and Houston are undefeated. Out of those three teams, which one do you believe in can go the distance? Not necessarily staying undefeated, but can go to the distance and, you know, make it to the playoffs and have a run for it.
I'd probably say the Golden State Warriors. The Splash Brothers are tough.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the best shooters I've seen in a while. Steph Curry's arguably the best shooter that I've ever seen. And, you know, Steve Kerr has this team playing very well.
Right.
Has them playing better than the Mark Jackson years, I have to say. You know, it's the beginning of the season. But I think Steve Kerr is worth all the hype.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've always been a Steve Kerr fan.
Warriors for me.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, you know what? I'll have to say the team that surprised me the most is Houston.
Okay.
I agree with you on Golden State, but I'll be honest with you. I'm very surprised how Houston is playing. I mean, they are killing it. Even Dwight Howard has stepped up. And Lord knows I'm not a Dwight Howard fan, but, you know, he's doing his thing. So that's a whole nother show of why I'm not a Dwight Howard fan.
I wasn't going to ask you, why aren't you a Dwight Howard fan?
You know what? When all that was going on, when he was leaving Orlando, I felt like he should have came home. He should have been Atlanta Hawks. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. So,
okay. So you're bitter.
And scene, yes, a little bitter. There's a lot of us here who are a little bitter about that one.
The Hawks have an okay team, though. They had a tough loss yesterday.
Yeah.
They have an okay team. You know, you got Al Horford. You got some pieces there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're trying to put it together. I mean, that's the one thing about the Hawks. They're, throughout the season, we're going to see glimpses. And, I mean, they're going to end up being an 8 seed. So, as Sky is rolling his eyes at me.
Oh, guys!
Everybody makes it. Everybody makes it in the playoffs in the NBA, right?
At least that's what they tell us, right? Yeah. All right, folks. When we get back, we're going to have Leah Rothus, who is the executive director of Girls on the Run of Atlanta, joining us. Again, you're listening to That's What She Said Sports. I'm your host, Nicole Monique, and joining me is my guest co-host, Tyler Dragon. Stay tuned. There's nothing better than taking your business needs to a family-owned business like American Repro Graphics Corporation. With 35 years of experience, they are the premier one-stop shop for printing and business solutions. Get ahead of the holiday rush and get your holiday cards and personalized gift ideas today. Order by November 28th and save 25%. Call 770-394-2465. That's 770-394-2465 or visit arcinatlanta.com.
Tune in.
Now.
You can tune in to this radio station on any smartphone or tablet.
iPhone.
Android.
BlackBerry.
Nokia.
Samsung.
Windows phones.
Or whatever you have. Download the free TuneIn app from your phone or tablet's app store.
Tune in with music, sports, news, and comedy.
From over 70,000 radio stations around the world, including this Beasley Broadcast Group station. Check it out at TuneIn.com.
Or your app store.
Never give up looking for my baby.
Well, hello and welcome back to That's What She Said Sports. I'm Nicole Monique, and joining me is my guest host, Tyler Dragon. And I'm excited to be joining us. We're thrilled to have joining us Leah Rothus, who is the executive director of Girls on the Run of Atlanta. That's probably Kobe messing with us. All right, so we have Leah Rothus on the phone.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, Leah, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Leah, if you could say good morning to my guest host, Tyler Dragon.
Hi.
Tyler, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. We had a little technical difficulties. I think it was either Dwight or Kobe messing me up, Tyler.
Oh, okay.
On that one. So, but Leah, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. You know, I was just telling everybody, giving them a little bit of what I saw on your website as far as the tools that you provide these girls. And I just wanted you to talk a little bit more about the organization, like how it even got started.
Certainly. Girls on the Run was founded in 1996 by a woman named Molly Barker in Charlotte, North Carolina. And she was a runner and triathlete, as well as an educator and psychologist that really understood the transformational nature of running and physical activity as a way to help build our self-esteem and help us kind of work through problems and just build positive body image. And she created this program to help girls connect those, you know, positive individual experiences to tools that they can use later in life to be the confident girls that they and women that they need to be. So we started in 1996, and a couple of different chapters began around the Southeast. And here in Atlanta, we were founded in 1999 and started offering programs in 2000. So we're really excited that next year will actually be our 15th year of offering programs to girls here in Atlanta.
That is awesome, Leah. Leah, if you could talk a little bit about the age group of these girls.
Sure. We are working with girls in 3rd through 8th grade, so it's about 8 to 14. We have two different curriculum, one for the elementary school girls and one for the middle school girls that are covering topics that are fit for their ages. Maybe they're going through these experiences right now, or they're not going through them yet, but we're giving them the tools they need to help navigate life experiences as they grow up.
And the I know you all do a lot with community service, and I love the part that you have powered through service. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So the curriculum covers a lot of different topics, building up our individual strengths and self-esteem, healthy relationships. And then once we have that foundation, it's really important for the girls to understand how they can positively impact their community. So one of the activities in the curriculum is actually community service. So the girls create their own community service project and implement it during the season.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. We're talking to Leah Rolfes, who's the executive director of Girls on the Run Atlanta. And if you want to have a question for or join in the conversation, feel free to give us a call at 404-603-8770. So, Leah, one of the things I really love, you know, especially being a female, is that you all really push confidence. And, you know, do you all ever talk to some of the girls who've gone through your program, at, you know, as they've gotten older, as far as finding out what it meant to them to be part of Girls on the Run?
Absolutely. We actually have a great partnership with Georgia Tech and their women student athletes. And we learned last season that one of the women on their track team was a former Girl on the Run when she was in elementary school and built, you know, her running into being a collegiate athlete, which is just wonderful. But when you talk to her, to Haley, about Girls on the Run, she learned through the program that running is a great way to help build confidence. When we're running, we're free of that negative self-talk. We're not comparing ourselves to others. We're really just in that zone where body and mind are kind of working together.
Right.
And it's a great tool. It's also a great way to build friends and teamwork. And that's another way to feel confident when you have that something in common with your peers to run alongside them or play on a sports team alongside them. So confidence is a huge part of the program. It's a lot of celebrating our differences, our own unique selves, running at our own pace. It's not about being faster, winning. It's really just I'm moving, and while I'm moving, I'm feeling really great about myself and my team.
And see, and I love that too, because that age is so critical. I mean, that's a hard age. The age group that you mentioned, I kind of had a flashback of being in middle school. And, you know, that's the age where you start getting into the she's my friend, she's not my friend. you know, the clicks, you start, people start looking at what people actually look like. It's that piece too. And I think for little girls, they really need something like this to help with that confidence. And like you said, just to be able to talk to other people like themselves. I think that's the biggest thing.
Absolutely. At Girls on the Run, we call it the girl box. So when I'm in third through and fourth grade, I'm confident and vibrant and right. fun and giggly. And then at some point in between that elementary and middle school age, I'm climbing into this girl box where I'm starting to notice others and compare myself and seeing images in the media and things. And it can really take that vibrant spirit of a girl away. And we are trying to avoid that and let girls know that they are free to be themselves as they grow up and keep that confidence going as they grow up.
Right, right. Tyler, we didn't mean to leave you out of the conversation. We're not, the girls aren't taking over. Did you?
Okay.
Did you have a question or a comment for Leah?
Yeah, are you looking to expand, you know, your organization maybe to, you know, other places around Georgia or even other places outside the state?
So there are actually 225 Girls on the Run councils across the country and in
wow.
Canada. And councils of all shapes and sizes. So we're in metro areas as well as rural areas. And there are actually five councils in the state of Georgia. We're up in North Georgia, in Augusta, along the coast in the Savannah area. And the new council just formed around Macon and Warner Robins.
Oh, wow.
So here in Atlanta, we are in Cobb, Fulton, DeKalb, and Gwinnett counties. We're in about 86 schools right now, but we would love to expand here in metro Atlanta as well as throughout the state. So absolutely, there are plenty of opportunities to expand, to get, you know, daughters involved in the program or to volunteer with us to start some new sites.
And then you all have an event coming up on Sunday. Can you share with us what that's about?
Yes, so the Girls on the Run 5K, we like to call it the exclamation point of our season. In the curriculum, the 5K is written into the lessons that the girls are learning. So they're building their fitness while they're learning these life skills. And the 5K at the end of the program is when all the teams come together and run this event together. So it's a metaphor for goal setting throughout the program. It's a metaphor for accomplishment. And we're teaching the girls that if I set my mind to something, I can do anything. So our 5K is tomorrow at Atlantic Station. We're expecting 1,300 girls
oh, wow.
to run alongside their volunteer coaches as well as their parents or buddy runners. And it is open to the community. So it's great to see other healthy women running alongside the girls because you're role models for these girls. You know, they're seeing women from all, you know, parts of Atlanta, again, all backgrounds, and they can envision themselves like that when they're growing up. So it's part of the program for the girls, but it's also a great community event as well. Again, everybody's number one, so it's not competitive. You
right.
can walk, bring your stroller, or we do have some really speedy girls out there too. But it's just a great celebration of health, wellness, girl power. It's a really powerful event. We do have a lot of dads and brothers there too. So.
Oh, good. I was going to mention if any of the guys actually can, you know, volunteer or get involved involved as well.
Yeah, the dads are awesome running alongside their daughters. It's the finish line is just one of the most inspiring places you could be watching the girls finish the race. So
oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I was happy you said walking because I myself am trying to get back in shape. So as far as running along the girls, that might be a little much for me right now. It's a process, as you know, when you take time off, then you're trying to get back into exercising. So I love the fact that you said walking. And I love the fact that you said the dads are involved because a lot of times we don't get enough good dad stories.
Right. Part of the program, we hope that, you know, part of our success is when the program extends to the family and the school community. We have a lot of principals out running with their teams, and we provide parents with a 5K training plan so they can prep alongside their girls and run the race with them. So it truly is success when we're seeing moms and dads and siblings and school community members out running the 5K.
So, Leah, if somebody has a daughter or a niece or, you know, maybe they have a neighbor and they're listening right now, they want to know, hey, how can – not only can I get involved, but how do I get, you know, them involved in the organization? What do they need to do?
So the best place to go is our website, which is girlsontherunatlanta.org. Mm-hmm. And you can find a list of sites where we currently offer programs. So if we are offering a site at your daughter or niece or friend's school, we have a program in the fall as well as the spring. So our spring program will kick off January, and the 5K in the spring is in April. If we don't have a program at your school and you would like to start one, we actually have instructions on our website on how to do that. And again, we would love to expand and grow and serve more schools. We have a wonderful scholarship program for Title I schools. So really want all girls to experience this program. And then for adults who want to volunteer, coaching is an extremely rewarding opportunity. You're the role model. You're leading the girls through the lessons and through the workouts. You don't have to be a runner to be a coach. And it's talking through these lessons with the girls is often more rewarding for the adult coaches than it is for the girls. They're getting a lot out of it. And if coaching is too much of a commitment, because the teams do meet twice a week, we need hundreds of volunteers to help our 5Ks run smoothly, as well as in our office getting ready for the program, that kind of thing. We would not be able to survive without our amazing volunteers. So come join the team if you can, for sure.
And with an event like you're having on Sunday at Atlantic Station, how many volunteers do you think will be there that day?
Oh, we're expecting over 200 volunteers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we have cheer stations and water stops and, of course, T-shirts and registration. And one of the fun things at the 5K, we have happy hair. So the girls get their hair done before the race because everyone runs faster with pink and purple hair, right?
Well, that helps me, personally. It does help me.
So it's a really, you know, high energy event that we need the, you know, hundreds of volunteers to make it happen, like any other, you know, race that you've been to.
Right. Well, Leah, thank you so much for joining us this morning on That's What She Said Sports. I am very excited about the organization. I actually heard about it through Georgia Tech. So please look out for me to be volunteering and walking alongside the girls. I'm going to get back with you so I can do my part. Because like I said, I know that age is such a critical age, and I would love to talk to those young girls as far as, you know, what I experienced, and then just to kind of hear what they're going through. So remember, folks, get more information. Leah, give us the website again.
It's girlsontherunatlanta.org.
Awesome. So again, thank you. Good luck with your event on Sunday, and you are welcome back anytime on That's What She Said Sports.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And folks, when we get back, Tyler and I, we're going to be talking a little college football. Stay tuned. There's nothing better than taking your business needs to a family-owned business like American Repro Graphics Corporation. With 35 years of experience, they are the premier one-stop shop for printing and business solutions. Get ahead of the holiday rush and get your holiday cards and personalized gift ideas today. Order by November 28th and save 25%. Call 770-394-2465. That's 770-394-2465 or visit arcinatlanta.com.
Tune in.
Now.
You can tune in to this radio station on any smartphone or tablet.
iPhone.
Android.
BlackBerry.
Nokia.
Samsung.
Windows phones.
Or whatever you have. Download the free TuneIn app from your phone or tablet's app store.
Tune in with music, sports, news, and comedy.
From over 70,000 radio stations around the world, including this Beasley Broadcast Group station. Check it out at TuneIn.com.
Or your app store.
Hey, and we're back. You're listening to That's What She Said Sports. I'm Nicole Monique, and joining me is my guest co-host, all the way from California, from NFL.com, Tyler Dragon. And Tyler, that organization sounds awesome, didn't it? Girls on the Run?
Yeah, yeah, that went really well. Hey, like, I feel like I'm at a club right now. Look at this.
Well, you know, I thought I was doing something. I was trying to, you know, get a little vibe for you being from California. And then I realized I messed up and I didn't put any Tupac on there. So my bad.
Yeah,
I owe you.
Yeah, being from California, you have to play something Tupac.
I know. And I missed out.
The next break.
We'll see what I can do. So don't get mad if I don't have it. So we'll see what we can do. But yeah, I hate that. I was like, oh, I got the music for this week, and then you said any Tupac, and I was like, ugh, forgot. So sorry, Tupac, because you know you're my favorite. So, but hey,
around in his grave right now.
Be quiet. I want to get some college football predictions from you. I think three of the biggest games going on this weekend as far as college football is concerned. We have number 4 Alabama versus number 14 LSU. We also have number 9 Kansas State versus number 6 TCU. And then number 7 Michigan State versus number 13 Ohio State. And I first want to start out with Alabama and LSU. What do you think? And they're playing at LSU, by the way.
I got Alabama. I'm still mad at the voting committee for not putting Alabama in the top 4. I think they're easily one of the best 4 teams in college football, despite losing one game.
Yeah,
I definitely got Alabama, LSU. What about you?
Well, you know what? LSU, it's hard to beat them at home, but in the same token, Bama has an attitude. You know, they don't like being number 6, 5 or 6. And Nick Saban, this time of the year, he can't be stopped. I mean, it's going to be interesting. My husband, he's all about LSU. You know, he's from Louisiana, so he's LSU and the Saints. We got the flag up, but as I was walking outside today, I was like, ugh, it's going to be a little ugly. Because I'm sorry. It's that's going to be a good one. But like you said, I was really surprised, too, that they weren't in the top 4. Real quick, though, how do you feel about that playoff committee? Do you think they're a little early with bringing in their top 25 and they should only worry about the playoffs? I mean, what's your thoughts on the playoff committee so far?
I think they're doing an okay job. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the inaugural season. So, you know, there's going to be a little bit of bumps and bruises. Not everybody's going to agree with what they're doing. I'm still trying, you know, see what I can do to be in the committee, to be honest with you. But
because you know some people, is that what I'm hearing?
You know, how can I get some of that?
Right.
How can I get a vote in?
Right.
But they're doing fine in all seriousness. I think, you know, they're doing fine. I have one disagreement with them. Is Alabama, I think, should be in the top 4. But the other teams that they have in, the Mississippi States, Florida States of the world, and,
right,
you know, Auburn, I have no complaints with that.
Well, I still think they're very, they're definitely very pro-SEC. I'm just putting that out there. So y'all can take it.
The SEC is the best, you know, conference
in
football.
I know. I'm just saying. Hey, I'm a Big Ten girl, so it hurts. But please,
yeah, well,
please don't,
I'm
kill
sorry,
me about the Big Ten, because again, that's we could do a whole show on the Big Ten. So I get it. But no, I always give props to the SEC. I married an SEC guy. It is what it is. Okay.
See, you know what's up.
I do. So okay, next up, Kansas State, TCU. Now I think this game could beat the other ones. I mean, I think the other ones are big, but this one I'm really looking forward to. What do you think the outcome is going to be? What's your prediction?
I got TCU.
Okay.
I got TCU. I like how TCU is playing right now. And TCU is another team that, you know, could arguably be in, you know, the college football playoff top 4. They've been playing well of late. I think their offense is, you know, very high power. Their defense, lacks a little bit, but I think their defense is okay up the par, and I think, you know, they're going to get the win on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm with you on TCU. And, in fact, they're that kind of team that – I think they're flying under the radar, so to speak. And
mm-hmm.
they could shock everybody and definitely get a playoff bid. I think they're that
yeah.
kind of team.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, they sleep on TCU because their name is not as big as,
right.
you know, the Alabamas or the Florida State. But TCU has a great team.
So finally, Michigan State versus Ohio State. And let me just tell you something, you know, from Michigan fan, grew up in Michigan football, I'm for anybody who plays against Ohio State. The devil himself could play against Ohio State, and I'd be like, yeah, go devil. So I'm just going to throw it out there. It's obvious who I want, but you tell me, Tyler, Michigan State or Ohio State?
Well, you're going to hate me on this one because I got Ohio State.
Yeah, well, you kind of, as soon as you said you're going to hate me, I was looking at Sky to hit the button.
I got Ohio State in this one.
Do tell, Tyler. Why?
I like what Ohio State's doing. And Urban Meyer is, you know, one of the best coaches in college football. I think he has his bunch ready to play. And, you know, it's an upset. You know, I'm going with my gut. And my gut feeling says, you know, Michigan State's going to beat your favorite Michigan State.
Okay.
I know you have Michigan State, you know, but you're talking with your heart. So,
well, no, my heart is Michigan, but I am rooting against Ohio State. I need Michigan State. As a Michigan fan, I need Michigan State to step into the plate and beat them. So that's what I need. And, yeah, you kind of, yeesh, that hurt, Tyler. I'm just going to say.
Ouch, baby. Very ouch.
Yeah, that hurt. We might have to bet a little bit on that one, Tyler. So
okay.
Just, you know, let me know what you're willing to lose.
Yeah, I think you already owe me something. Like, didn't you owe me from the Patriots Broncos?
Excuse me?
You don't want to talk about that.
I almost blacked out. I was like, what? Patriots Broncos? I have no idea what you're talking about.
The Patriots Broncos. You're a Broncos fan. You guys lost last week. Okay. Got blown out last week.
Yeah, but you know what? It's a new week. Because, you know,
okay.
That was last week. This is a whole new week. So, but thank you. I'm sweating. I'm like, what? Denver? New England? Don't even get me started on that game. But, you know, the one thing, though, I applaud my boy Peyton Manning. He said, look, I stunk. I don't know what happened, but I did not play well. So I had to give him kudos for that because guess what? You did stink. I mean, that was just a hot mess. So my Broncos defense gave me a -1 on my fantasy football team. Yeah.
Wow.
Sky's making a face. I'm like, yeah, that's how I felt.
Well, you know, more times than not, Peyton Manning does stink when he goes up against Tom Brady because, you know, Tom Brady is a better quarterback. I'm just saying.
Okay, I just threw up a little in my mouth. Thanks, Tyler. It's too early.
Peyton's been choking since Tennessee.
Wow, you guys are killing me today. Okay.
I just got to be real, you know.
All right.
It's early out here in California. It's too early not to be real.
True that.
Tyler's like, I ain't got time for this. I'm not about to be playing with y'all. All right, so we're going to do this. So, Tyler, if Ohio State wins, I will send you I'll send you a t-shirt. If Michigan State wins, you got to send me an NFL.com t-shirt.
Okay, that's fine.
Does that work?
Okay.
Because I didn't want to take money from you, and, you know, I just figured we'll start small and then we'll work our way up.
Okay. I got you.
Well, Tyler, thanks again for being on the show. This has been awesome. Let everybody know where they can find you and, you know, follow you and all that good stuff.
Okay, well, check NFL.com periodically. I always write on the site. On Twitter, my Twitter is @TheOneDragon, the one dragon. So you can follow me on there anytime. I tweet all the time, sports 24/7. And, you know, thanks for having me on the show. You know, I'm looking forward to every week. You know, anytime you guys want me on the show, I'll be on.
Well,
thank you for the Tupac. I see it. It threw me off a little bit. Like,
I know.
Was like, wait. Is this Tupac right here? It threw me off a little bit.
Hey,
Tupac.
I try to deliver. Unlike my Broncos gulp, but I try to deliver. So, but no, seriously, I love talking to you. I love messing with you on Twitter. And thank you so much. Because like I said, I know it's early from California. So it just means a lot for me, for you to spend this hour with me. Yeah, I really, really appreciate it.
Anytime, like I said.
Well, folks, I can't thank you enough for listening to That's What She Said Sports. Remember, during the week, you can catch us. We're like everywhere. Podbean.com, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. And we look forward to hanging out with you again next Saturday on AM 1100 at 10 a.m. And also be sure to visit our website, TWSSports.com. And as my co-dude BG would say, be good. Till next time.
There's a lot going on in the world.